For those of you, just look around. I know a few faces, but not everyone. So for those that don't know me, my name is Rob Kember, and I'm from Summerside. So our brother's from Charlottetown. I had a little bit of a shorter drive than him, but I don't know. I have a bad memory. I don't know if I've ever spoken here before. So I'm also not a school teacher, so I do require notes. And I'm just going to get those up. But first of all, I'd like to, I'm just going to read through a few verses. And on my heart tonight was preparing and planning for the future. So I want to read. Now, this one's a hard one to find. And Amos chapter 4 and verse 12, we're going to read that in the Word of God, the Bible. If you have one, great. And if you struggle to find Amos, just it's a short verse, I'm going to read it to you. I think it's Joel, Amos, Obadiah. That's how you find it that way. So we're going to read Amos 4 and verse 12. It's a very well-known verse. And therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel. This is God speaking. And because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God. So those are the short words I want to take from that verse. Prepare to meet thy God. That's in Amos 4 and 12. Now, if we'll just go over to 2 Corinthians 6, 2 Corinthians, that's in the New Testament. Of course, when you're up here, you can't find anything. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So there's a time when I want you to, sometimes the question goes out, when do I prepare for this? Now is a great idea. The procrastinator will look till tomorrow. The proactive will be now. So now is the day of salvation. John 14, a more well-known book in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, still in the New Testament. Again, I don't know if you have heard the gospel once or never or five times or 10 times. So I'm going to try to be clear. So John 14, verse 2. In my Father's house, this is the Lord Jesus speaking. It's written in red. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. So the phrase I was looking for is, I go to prepare a place for you. Finally, I'm going to refer to more, but we'll make you work a little bit more. 2 Peter chapter 4. Wait a second. I got that wrong. There's no chapter 4. I pulled that trick the other week in Summerside. I don't know where you're going to find that one. I got it here. I do have it in another section of my notes. Sorry. 3 and verse 9. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. I just want to pull a phrase from it here. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So the Lord, what I'm taking from there is, none shall perish. The Lord's will, God's will, is that all will come to repentance and know Christ. The other one is probably in the wall here somewhere, Ephesians 2 and 8. I was just going to steal a phrase from that. And it was not of works, lest any man should boast. Just emphasizing that salvation that we're speaking about tonight, it's a gift from God. Noah wasn't preaching, asking for help to come build the ark. He was saying, I am building the ark. The ark is there. The plan has been given to me. And if you enter in, you will be safe. So, saved from the storm. So I was thinking about recently, I guess when I was asked to come up here, I was actually trying to, I was planning on a little trip. And as oftentimes we might look into a vacation, or we might want to plan a little getaway for a day or two, or might we just want to make a trip to Charlottetown. I'm not sure what the folks at West here do. But maybe it's just over to the little water park in Mill River. That's a good place. But sometimes we sit back and we dream of how far we could go, and everything looks so great. We read up on the reviews of the hotels or maybe where we want to stay. And it's kind of fun filtering through the photos. They're all so picturesque and so perfect. You got the sunsets. Sometimes there's endless white beaches. Or maybe you're an Alaskan person and you like to look at icebergs. There's just many pictures that are so picturesque. The pool is never crowded, but you know in the morning it's going to be a fight for a chair. So I enjoy looking through this, and maybe up here you guys like jungles and trees, or maybe Dean just likes to go out and cut wood. That's a vacation to him, but he plans for it. But you know, as I look around, I wonder, what am I trying to get? I just want a little piece of paradise for a short time, right? And then I think about, like, you look at the pictures and they're so nice, you can't put it into words. And then we have a book here that gives us words exactly what heaven is like. And it's almost like we're striving while we're looking for, to make that vacation and that destination. We're trying to grab just a little piece of it. But you know, we read of heaven in here, and it's a destination that's available to all. It's a destination we read of, a place where there will be no sorrow. There will be no sickness. There will be no tears. I read there in Amos 4 and verse 2, prepare to meet thy God. Heaven is a place where God is, and we must prepare to get there. We won't just end up in heaven. Okay, we must prepare. The Bible tells us we got to prepare. You know, sometimes I just meditate and wonder, what would I like to be there? I'm saved, and I know that if I do die, I will be in heaven. But eventually, as you start looking, you pick a place, right? And I like to look for a minute at the map. Sometimes I like to know where I am. So maybe I'll point out where north is. If we're going on a snowmobile trip, we'll look at the different shacks and how we're going to get around our time constraints. And you just mark out a few things. Maybe if you're going on vacation south, you'll look to see, make sure the pool isn't on the north side so you get no sun in the afternoon. Just little things like that, and you're preparing. God pleads with us, prepare to meet thy God. He wants you to prepare for the next life. In God's word, we read of a map. I look at the map and I look for that north. I look for the south. I look for the shopping malls. I look for the entertainment. I look for, do I need a taxi or a rental car? How am I going to get around? God gives us a map tonight, friend. And there's two destinations on it. If I was to read in here and start to draw, I would read of two roads and two destinies. Now you're looking, saying, Rob, it's right behind you. Yeah, it is. Some people have got together and helped us to understand what the Bible's telling us. It tells us there is a broad way. It tells there is a narrow way. And it's very solemn. It says there's signs and warnings along the way. God speaks to you in your life in circumstances. There's circumstances brought into your life that will speak to you, that will say, wake up. There's something more to life than this. There's something more. There's something deeper. There's got to be a God, a creator. God speaks to you in circumstances, and he pleads with you to turn to him. So we have a map here tonight. There's two roads, two destinies. There's no middle road. There's that barrier in the middle that once you pass it, there's no return. And we know where you want to be, but will you be there? Prepare to meet thy God. Another thing important when you're planning a trip or planning a vacation or just planning a getaway is you got to pick your dates. So maybe first of all, you'll contact your employer and say, I'm thinking about March. Maybe I'm thinking about April. I like to see, when will I be burnt out? I like to plan that. I'll burn out April. So I'll try to book a little time off in April. Wouldn't that be great? Right? You look for the best season to visit the location. You prepare all day long. You talk about these things. It's just normal. If I didn't prepare, you'd say it was crazy. But you prepare to do this. On the contrary, the Bible tells us we need to prepare to meet our God. But it tells us we don't know the day that we will die. You won't be guaranteed tomorrow. The unexpected might happen to you, and you'll leave this body. Where will you be? Prepare. We must be ready to go at any time. That's what I said. When is that time? I'm going to forward up to my verse here. Now, we read in 2 Corinthians 6 and 2, now is a day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. God tells us, prepare now. You understand it. Prepare now. You know, my watch, one thing with an Apple Watch I hate about it, it goes dead all the time. And I get so angry because I love looking at my watch. Minute to minute. Sometimes I'm just going to grab a marker one of these days or a sketch or something. I'm going to write on it now. Because everything should be done now. This is important. It's of utmost importance. Important things should be done now. My plea with you tonight, friend. That verse said, behold, now is the day of salvation. Wouldn't you get saved tonight? Wouldn't you make that important tonight? Important enough that it could be now. I want to be saved now. I don't want to leave this building in the condition that I'm in. I want to be saved now. The message of the gospel, you know, is really good news. The message of the gospel tells you clearly on that map that you're born on a downward road. The Bible tells us we're born on a downward road and condemned already, and we're sinners going to hell. But Christ died for you. Christ died for your sins. He had no sins of his own. He was the very Son of God. And he died for you and me. And all God says to you is repent and trust. You know, trusting is easy. Repenting's hard. It is. It takes everything to repent. And some people won't. It's true. Some people tonight won't repent. Repentance is really hard. I kind of sympathize with that because I find, especially for a man, to say we're wrong is hard. But God tells us, repent and turn and trust him. Trust in what? Trust in the finished work of Calvary. He died on the cross for not his sin, but yours. And he says, just trust it. Put your trust in me. I am enough, and I will bring you to that place called heaven. So I gotta get ready. I gotta get ready for this trip, this vacation. So first of all, how am I gonna get there? Be the first question come to my mind. Sometimes it's possible to drive, sometimes rent a car, sometimes I'm just gonna use my own car, sometimes I might fly, I may have to take a boat or a train. There's many wonderful ways to get where you want to go these days. You know, just in saying that, I got 10 minutes left. I heard a story yesterday of a guy, two lawyers, friends sitting in the airport, small airport, a little while ago, obviously, and because you wouldn't do this nowadays, and they were waiting for their plane 3 hours away. The flight was in 3 hours, and the guy beside, guy was walking through the airport, said, where are you guys going? A small rural airport. And they told him the town. He said, why don't you just come with me? He said, I got my own plane. I'm flying there anyway. You may as well jump in, save you a bit of time, return your tickets, and get your money back. Yeah, this is, no, it's not a good decision. But then they got talking, and he convinced them, yeah, come along with me. I know the way. I fly there all the time. So they did. They went out, and he said they got in the plane. And he said he felt nervous. He made a bad decision. But the plane looked good. So he got on the plane, and the plane started fine. So that was comforting. He started to relax. The plane went down the runway and sailed off. And he said it was really nice. You know, I got thinking about this story, and we have the way here. But there's so many distractions. The world will tell you other things to distract you and take you away. Where do they lead? They lead to danger. This man got up in the clouds. They got flying for about 30 minutes, and all of a sudden some clouds came out. And the pilot looked over and said, uh-oh, clouds. Well, what's so bad with clouds, he said. He said, I pass out in clouds. In minutes, the pilot passed out. And they said, what do we do now? Here's a radio, call for help. So they call for help, 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 help. A guy picked up the radio and said, we understand you need help. Yes, we need help. Our pilot has passed out in the clouds. He said, okay, I cannot help you. I'll get someone that can. So another person came on the line, and he said, I can help you. I understand your pilot has passed out. Yes, he has. I understand you're in the clouds. Yes, and you're lost. Yes. He said, listen to my voice. Listen to my voice. He said, I will help you. Now, first of all, we got to locate you. Friend, tonight, you've got to be located. You got to understand you're lost, your need of salvation. You got to get located, and it's important there because now they have been taken a wrong way and taken into danger. It can be so simple. It can be anything that can distract you, anything that can take you out of danger. Religion can get you into danger because they can tell you works and money will get you to heaven, but it's not. It feels good, but you feel lost. Friend, tonight, anyone in this meeting here, if you talk to them after and they're saved, they will tell you they are not lost. They can tell you of a time when they were lost, but tonight they're saved and they are not lost. They are sure of heaven. They are 100% positive where they'll be when they die. What a wonderful thing. This guy said, the voice said to this guy, He said, in 4 minutes, you're going to hit a mountain and you're going to crash and die. Unless you turn the plane. So he said, well, I'll turn the plane. And he got them out of danger and he headed them back. He said, you will have to listen to my voice. I can walk you through this. So many people don't listen to my voice and perish. And isn't that like the gospel? It's so true. If you listen to God's voice, it's in there. He's telling you, repent, trust. Repent of your sins, trust, receive salvation. How much better can it get? It's not hard. They just listened to the voice. They turned the plane around. And in 30 minutes, they were landing. So he landed that plane 7 times. He landed so hard, but they landed. The wonderful thing, he got to meet the guy, and he heard the voice. And he looked at his face, and he thanked him. We're going to hear his voice in heaven one day. I'm going to hear his voice. But where I wouldn't want anyone to hear his voice is at the day of judgment. There is a judgment day coming when you don't want to hear his voice because he's going to say, I don't know you. Listen to his voice today. God says, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I'm certain that's probably on the wall here somewhere. I quoted it from John 3:16. You can have everlasting life. You do not have to perish. So I get ready for my trip. I find out how I'm going to get there. Then I make the reservation. I like this part. Because you've done all this work. You've figured it out. Myself. And then I click. It's a choice I have to make. It's a choice you have to make. It's a very distinct choice. Because the minute I hit that reservation, it's just one action. And today in 2025, guess what happens? Your inbox explodes. Everything comes through. Your rental car. Everyone wants to make sure you're taken care of. Your hotel. Everything in just a click comes flying in. A myriad of things. Processed by robots and processors and authorizations. And who knows what else happens in that after that click. But you got your reservation and your name is on it. You know, God's word has never changed. You have to make a choice to be in heaven. Nothing's going to change about that. You have to take the step of faith and put your trust in him. It's only one way that you can be in that place called heaven. You can try to prepare. You can do all the things you want. But unless you put your trust in Christ, you will not be there. You know what he says about anyone that puts their trust in Christ? He says, if you put your trust in him, your name is written. Not in Wikipedia. Is it Wikipedia? Expedia? As a reservation? No. It says, your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Who writes it? God himself. He says, my son has died for this man. Rob Kember, written in the book of life. Take the best eraser you got. You would not get it out of there. Then I get the confirmation. The confirmation of that trip comes in. And I start to read about what I'm going to do. Instantly, things are going off. I get confirmation the day I get saved. Every time I read the scriptures now and hear a hymn, I see it. Christ died for me. Everything was done for me. The whole picture is big. I get the confirmation from every word of God. Every passage now means something so much different. Every verse I read, although my memory might be bad, I read it and go, oh, look at that. Me again. The hymns speak right to me. I think, oh, anchor. I got it. Right? That's the confirmation that I have a home in heaven. I'm going to a place of joy, rest, worship, relaxation. No sin, no sorrow. Don't you want to come? Leads me to the invitation. You know, after you got your plans already, once in a while I think, well, wouldn't it be nice if James wants to come down to Charlottetown while I'm there and hit the water slide? Yeah, we're going to the Rod. And I just want to invite people. I want to give an invitation out to them. We read, the Lord is not slack in his promise, as some men cast slackness, but long-suffering to usward, willing that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. Friend, tonight, if I'm inviting you, because I know my Savior, he wants you too, but I'm inviting you to trust in him. The invitation is to you, not just to go on a little trip with me, the invitation that comes right from God. He says, I don't want any to perish. Tell everyone. Tell everyone it's available. It's available to all. Like Noah had that door open. I'm sure he screamed and yelled, go in the door. No one would listen. Tonight, friend, let's not be like them. The door is open tonight. You see the door on the map? He says, come. Come. The door is open tonight. I'm inviting you. I'm inviting you to trust in Christ tonight. Put your faith in him. It's a genuine love that he has for your soul. We want to see you saved. Christ wants you to see you saved. When? Now. Now is the accepted time. Put your trust in him. You know, the love of our Savior was, what's the word? Selfless. Selfless. I drove with a guy last, I got 2 minutes and I'll close. Went for a drive with a guy the other day. We had about an hour and a half. So I asked him about his childhood, and he told me he was fostered in a foster home, in multiple homes. And the last one he was there for 9 years. And he said the family next door to him had 8 kids, and they would always take him through, and they would invite him to come everywhere. He said they took him to Sunday school. They took him to church. They took him on their vacations. They had everything for him. And he said, and one day, he said, I found a book in my parents' house. And he said, who had fostered him. And he said, it was all my birthday gifts. They got paid back for them. My bicycle for Christmas. They got paid back for it. And he said, I felt 2 different types of love. He said, this one, he said, like it was an obligation, but they were reaping back every bit of love they put out. So it was no love to it, and it really hurt him. But he said, those neighbors next door, they did it through love. He said he could feel the love. It was fostered love. Friend, tonight, Christ, God loves you. He died for you. So much, he was so willing. He went through so much that he died for you. Don't wait. Don't leave it another day. Get this settled. Prepare. Prepare to go anytime. Make your reservation tonight. Receive your confirmation. Go on to invite others. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we're thankful for Jesus Christ, our Savior. We're thankful for the message of the gospel that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We're thankful that we can share this message. We pray that any in the audience here that are unsaved would look to Christ now and repent. We just pray that you would take each one of us home safely and bless us. Pray that the seed of the gospel would be planted in the hearts here of the unsaved, and we would see reward. We just leave this in thy care and in thy hands. In Jesus' name, amen.